Jason Waller here, True Underdog Podcast and YouTube channel. Listen, make sure you subscribe today. You can go to iHeartRadio, Spotify, Apple Podcasts. You can go to our YouTube channel, True Underdog, or you can visit trueunderdog.com and subscribe to all of it.
Damn, 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 True Underdog. Damn, damn, unleash damn, the power within. Damn, damn, damn.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to Hustle, Heart, True Grit with self-made CEO Jason Waller. He is the CEO at Power Home Solar and host of True Underdog Podcast and four times Entrepreneur of the Year. Jason, we are so excited to have this room and we'd love to learn a little bit more about you.
Hey, thank you so much. I really appreciate it, Caroline. And thanks for setting up the room. Holla. Heather, thanks for joining us. I'm super excited. So I had to miss last week. I had the family down in Disney, but super excited to give some tidbits, talk about, you know, the grind, talk about overcoming adversity, talking about building a company from the ground up. You know, what kind of tips and traits should you use if you're going to get into sales or if you're going to start trying to do your own thing as an entrepreneur? You know, also really talk about, you know, how to overcome the naysayers, the haters, the complainers, the whiners, the people that try to box you in. And, you know, you need to tell them to get their popcorn ready and continue to watch you while you watch yourself succeed. That's what I want to focus on. So I'm excited.
Brilliant. And I do want to shout out Reem. Thank you so much for hosting us in this amazing club. We'd love to learn a little bit more about you.
Hey, what's going on, everybody? Go by the name Reem Team from Brooklyn, New York. Full-time entrepreneur, full-time stock options trader. Also the creator of the Hustler Club. We cover a wide range of topics here, everything from personal development, mindset, entrepreneurship. We do rooms on real estate, trucking, Airbnb, and much, much more. So that's definitely a little bit about myself, what I do. And I'm going to pass the floor back to you, Caroline. Jason, what's going on? Definitely excited about this conversation and what we're going to be speaking about today.
No, I'm excited to meet you, Reem. I'm Jack. Thanks for having us in this group. And I'm pretty jacked to learn more about you too, my man.
Brilliant. I love it. Love it. And we have Holla here. Holla, can you tell us a little bit about yourself?
Hey, everybody. I'm happy to be here. I'm the host of Young and Profiting. We are number one self-improvement podcast. And I'm also the CEO of Yap Media. And Jason and Heather are both my clients. So happy to be here and to provide value. And Reem, so nice to meet you. And thank you so much for letting us use your space.
Brilliant. And Heather and Kevin, thank you so much for joining us on stage. Heather, tell us a little bit about yourself and then bounce it to Kevin. And we'll start with Rayanne with our first question of the night.
Oh my gosh, so excited to be here. I'm Heather. I'm your resident confidence creator. Excited to throw it down and can't wait to hear everyone's questions. Kevin, intro you, my friend.
Kevin, you're on mute, the bottom right-hand corner. Tap the mic. That's all right. Okay. Kevin, when you have back in, we are going to have you. Rayanne, welcome to the stage. Thank you for being our first question. How can we help you?
Hey, it's great to be here. I am always curious about how to involve CEOs and bigger companies in with human trafficking and with helping to create bridges and connections so that we can all better support not just human trafficking, but my specialty is domestic child sex trafficking. So what does it take for CEOs that are running their companies, that are, you know, wanting to become involved within their community? What does it take to reach you guys? Like, what is it that catches your attention? What is it that allows you to shift into a role of, you know, wanting to share this information and be a part of ending the stigma and the misconceptions about it?
Rayanne, great question. And I think that, you know, that's a sensitive subject. That's a hot topic the last couple of years. So kudos to you for being a part of the solution there and trying to get things in a better situation with sex trafficking and domestic violence and sexual abuse with kids. I think just the message you just said now, because of the world we live in, I think if you're able to say that to a gatekeeper, to an executive admin, to a chief of staff, you know, hit people up on LinkedIn, DM them on social media. I feel like you can never be scared to reach out to somebody. Nobody is bigger and better than anybody. You know, it's as odd as it sounds, there's been people over my career I've reached out to, and I was like, I can't believe they just responded to me, whether I was in sales, whether I was another CEO, I was wanting to get coached, and vice versa. Someone will reach out to me and I'll be like, dude, that's a great question. I think it's all in volume. You know, the more people you can ping out there, the more awareness you can go out there, hitting them up on all kinds of social medias, but not being scared to deliver what you just delivered. I mean, be impactful, make it, you know, mesmerizing when you're bringing something up, because I think too many times people are shying away from really what they do. You know, our company at Power Home, we challenge every one of our leaders to be, you know, involved in the community. We do a lot of national stuff with Military Makeover and Give Power and Kate Upton and Justin Verlander's Patriot Ruck. We do that stuff. But on a local level, we do a lot of cool things too. And we challenge our leaders to do that. So I think also making forums, connecting on people like this on Clubhouse, you know, LinkedIn, I think that's a good way to do it.
Very cool. Thank you so much. Just out of curiosity, would anybody here be, you know, interested or willing to have a conversation and to host a room that would allow your followers to become more engaged and more aware of the topic if they had a bunch of lived expert leaders like myself and other people explaining, no, not just the history, but also the biological aspect and the emotional aspect of what takes place and how they can better not just become aware, but also be a part of the solution.
I would love to help you out there, Rayanne. I do Yap Live events. And as I mentioned before, I have a really popular podcast. And so I would be happy to host a panel and then publish it on Young and Profiting Podcast so that we can spread the word.
Amazing. Thank you so much. I will DM you.
Yeah, DM me and we can set it up.
Thank you guys so much.
I love it. Clubhouse magic with the first question. For those of you who are just joining us, welcome to Hustle, Heart, and True Grit with Self-Made CEO Jason Waller and special guests Hala, Heather, and Reem team. This room is hosted by the Hustler Club. If you do not yet follow Hustler Club, please tap the greenhouse just above our heads. Give it a follow. And while you're there, check out the founder. And actually, he's on stage with us right now. Give him a follow and tap the bell for always, because you are not going to want to miss his rooms. Michael, welcome to the stage. Love the party hat. How can we help you?
Hey, thanks for bringing me on stage because of the party hat. Clubhouse has been an amazing app that I've been using for the past week, and I've made a ton of connections, which is great. I created a football game that we made out of two folding chairs in 2016. The game is called QB54. We've been selling online. We've been at tailgates. We've been at barbecues, beaches, everywhere, just pounding the pavement all over the country at selling at different stadiums, guerrilla style. And I'm a firm believer that you have to hustle and move the needle every day to make some progress in your business. We grew 10x last year alone, which was phenomenal for us. And we got that success through Facebook marketing ads. And there's a lot of topics coming up about the influencer market, and we have not done that yet. And I was just curious if anybody out there on the stage or out there in the audience, or Jason, maybe even yourself, has experience with the influencer market. Is it worth going into? What are the pitfalls? And that's my question.
Yo, great question. I just pulled you up on Instagram. I love the product. That's really cool. I'm going to have to hit you up and order that because, you know, I've got a lot of friends that love to go tailgate. I don't. I'm a little bougie now. I ride in with some of the players' families because I got some homies on the Detroit Lions. And then I go into the suite and then I leave with them and hang out. But I met them through influencing. And then I became, you know, utilizing some of the players as an influencer, you know, Barry Sanders, Matt Prater, Matthew Stafford, people like that. So I think that, you know, if you can find the right niche personality that can push your product, it doesn't have to be an ex player. I think it's worth it because all they have to do is, you know, share it on their social media. You know, it's benefited us. We've partnered with a handful of football players. We've partnered with an IndyCar race champion, you know, and it pulls us into different ponds of different clients wanting our business, wanting to, you know, go solar or go green. And I think it's important to just leverage those opportunities. I like influence. I think that kind of marketing is fantastic. Facebook's also where it's at. That's why you did 10X. You know, that's how we grow our businesses on social media, mostly on Facebook. But I still think the influencer section is a big key. What do you think, Heather?
Yeah, I mean, listen, people do business with people that they know, like, and trust. And when you can extrapolate that trust and the power and reach of a personality's name, it's the fastest way to establish some trust and credibility and reach. So I think it's a great proposition.
Guys, I appreciate the input, and I'm always willing to learn and thirsty for the knowledge. And this platform is just amazing. Thanks for letting me speak.
Dude, thanks for your bit, dude. Thanks for coming up here and doing that. And your business, I like that. That game, that's pretty cool. I would keep pushing that. That's exciting.
Thanks. If you have any football players that might be interested, please shove them our way. I would love to talk to them.
Absolutely.
I would love, before we take the next question, and by the way, if you guys have questions for Jason, raise your hand so that we can get you up on stage early and make sure that we answer your question. Jason, I would love for you to share a little bit about your story for those of us who don't know you. You know, I know all about you, but I think most of the people in this crowd don't know about, you know, everything you've achieved and everything that you have overcome in your life in terms of getting to where you're at. So, in like a short amount of time, can you explain to us like where you started and where you're at now, just so people understand that, you know, you came from really humble beginnings and you've turned it around and you basically risked it all to accomplish what you've accomplished. So I want everyone to understand, you know, how much success you've achieved and also like what you've overcame, because I think that will also get the questions rolling from the crowd.
Thank you, Hala. Well, first I want to say thank you again to you and Caroline and Reem and Heather, who's a big mentor for me on the social media platform and writing a book. But I'm a guy that dropped out of high school. I got kicked out of high school and had a kid in my teens, never went to college. My parents never finished high school. They're blue collar. I grew up in, you know, a little less than middle income America. I mean, it was a trailer park I made fun of in high school, had a car that the five of us, six of us up here on stage went to dinner that cost more our dinner together than my car did. And, I lived a life where people would judge me for things I couldn't control as a young man and an older teen of things I didn't have and I didn't like it. And I met my wife in high school. Her family judged me. They didn't like me because I lived in a trailer park. They would mock me. All these things that were drivers for me. And having a kid, when I turned 18 and dropping out of high school, I had to grow up fast. And I always watched my dad as a blue collar hard worker. I watched him play it to not lose. He played safe. He played prevent. And I always told myself I had the opportunity. I was going to play to win. And because I watched him struggle, he had an opportunity to open a business. He didn't. He stayed working blue collar America at a factory doing his thing. And I get it. I ain't mad at him for it. He showed me hard work. But he was scared to take risks, and I watched him struggle. I'd have to help him deliver papers in the middle of the night and then try to go to school. I mean, it was tough. And back then, when you live in it, you just think it's normal. You don't realize you become an adult. Well, fast forward, I get into the sales game, and I crush it. I mean, think of this. My first time on the phones, it was like watching Wolf of Wall Street when he walked in trying to sell penny stock. I just had this gift. I walked in, I got on the phones, and I was crushing it. I was making $800 to $1,000 a week, 4 hours a day, 5 days a week, part-time, in high school selling home security over the phone. It was like, I got a taste of it, and I said, wow, I've got this gift to sell. I got to stay doing that. Fast forward a few years, I opened my first business in 2004, and I built it up. It was in the home security business. I built door knockers, van team programs. We would, you know, basically tell people they had great lawns, how many cars come by, let's put a sign in your yard, let's get you free equipment, free installation, pay for your monitoring. I did that for a long time, 12 years. Built that business up, not 12 years, 11 years. Built that business up to around $36 million in sales. But I didn't know what EBITDA meant. And I was a cash flow business. And I was sick of being in home security because I felt like everybody was in that business and that I needed something different. I can sell solar. I can do this. So I opened a solar company. I took all the money I made from selling my business and I took all the money I've ever had and that I've saved over working my whole life and I stuck it into the solar company. And the first year in 2015, we had $3 million in sales, but we lost almost $2 million. And for the first 22 months of this company's existence, I did not get a paycheck. And a little tip here for entrepreneurs out there, you're the least paid employee for a long time. Never open a business to be rich or get paid. You open a business to be your own boss and to do something you love. Because if you open it to get rich, you did the wrong thing, okay? Money comes with growth in different kind of sections of the company if that is what is planned. But
I remember for 22 months not getting a paycheck. I had a house on the lake. I sold it. I stuck that into the business. My wife was on the brink of leaving me. Like, what are we doing? My kids are freaking out. Dad, we lived on the lake and now you're buying this house or what? I said, guys, I'm doubling down. I'm not quitting. And so in 2016, on the 23rd month of being open, I finally went on payroll. We still lost money that year, but the last 6 months we gained some profit. We had momentum. I went into 17. We crushed it 18, 19. I'm proud to say we just finished 2020 with over 1,800 employees, 390 million in sales. We're on pace for 750 million this year. We're on the market right now. We're valued at close to $1 billion. You know, I just continue to grow and learn and push through. And then I was playing around. I won some Entrepreneur of the Year awards, including the EY award. And they told me I should do a podcast. I did that. And that's where I met the great folks here on stage. I hired Hala and her team. She introduced me to Heather and Caroline and now Reem. And we came together and I've got a top five Apple podcast for entrepreneurship that now is taken off as well while I'm still running my company and playing dad and playing husband. So I'm a grinder. I outwork everybody. That's my story.
Oh my gosh. I bet you guys are inspired. I'm so happy that you got a chance to share your story because I just wanted everyone to know like how much experience you have, how much value you have to share. And Jason, you're my client, but you're also one of my mentors and somebody that I look up to so much. And I can't wait for all these questions to roll in. So if you guys have a question for Jason, raise your hand. We'll bring you up on stage. Don't be shy. And before we do that, I want to take a quick poll. Let's do a poll. Let's have some fun. Who feels inspired after hearing that story? Take a poll. We won't bring you up, so don't be shy. Everybody on stage, clap if you feel inspired. Amazing. Awesome. Okay, so we're going to take the next question. Dr. Monisha, how can we help you?
Hi there. Caroline, thank you for having me up here. Actually, Heather is a mentor of mine from the past, and I'm always looking for wisdom from Heather. So happy to join in this conversation. She is absolutely amazing. And so for this group of very talented moderators, what I wanted to talk to you about is, so I am the well-being doctor. My focus is really on, you know, shaking up the healthcare system and actually making people healthy. So I have stepped out of the standard world of being employed by a hospital or being employed by a private practice group into that entrepreneurial world. And I have definitely had excellent success with my clientele, and I'm looking to continue doing that. And I think it is my grit from, you know, just having this perseverance and long-term goals from my medical experience. But also, I'm wondering from you guys as entrepreneurs, and especially Jason, you know, as a four-time entrepreneur of the year, and definitely Heather, I will take any wisdom from Heather, and I would love to hear Hala, what she has to say as a young entrepreneur. What is it that keeps you going even in these times? And I think Jason kind of started to talk about it a little bit, but I would love to hear a few tips that, you know, that would be great takeaways for probably everybody listening here, you know, when the ups and downs come. That's what I would love to hear. Thank you so much. And this is Dr. Monisha.
Great question. And thank you. And yes, Heather is the best. If it weren't for Heather, I wouldn't have wrote a book. I wouldn't do a lot of things. So kudos to Heather. She's one of my heroes. But during this pandemic, there was a time we had a heated conversation. You know, we had 790 employees when the pandemic hit, and everybody's fear levels are different. You know, no matter what's going on, when this disease came out, everybody, not just us on here, everybody was scared or had some kind of fear somehow, some way, right? And we had to be courtesy of that and figure that out and sensitive about that. But yet, we had 790 employees. They didn't have any packages out there for companies. We had over 500. We wouldn't have gotten anything anyways. They didn't have any kind of stimulus packages for the employees, you know, being laid off or unemployment packages. So we had a decision to make, and there was a heated conversation with the executives, and there's five of us. And I call the shots, but everybody has the floor. And so that what came up was, you know, hey, let's go furlough and let's lay everybody off for a little bit and bring them back on. And it was the day after GMC, their executive team took a pay cut, and they decided to keep some plants open because I'm here in Michigan. And I said, I can't do that. You know, Lucy, who works in the call center, is a single mom's got to buy formula, got to get diapers. Mike, who does installations, has to pay rent, hopefully pay his power bill, hopefully pay his solar bill, not his power bill. You know, all those things started clicking for me. And I said, guys, that's not what we're going to do. Well, what do you suggest we do? I said, I'll tell you what we're going to do. We're going to go off payroll. So we took ourselves off payroll indefinitely. It ended up being 4 or 5 months. And then we shared that story with the employees that we're going to move our vendors pay down and that we're going to bet on them and that we're going to stay open. And as long as a consumer wanted a product of solar and they didn't want to be powerless and they wanted a generator or a backup battery, and as long as we had a buyer, we were going to let these employees have an opportunity to still provide for their family. And so we came out and I delivered a video message. I went to a couple of the branches and then we typed up an email. And think in mind, we're on calls with attorneys. We're on calls with health attorneys. We're on calls with health officials, jurisdictions in Deferred City. Every hour somebody closes, somebody. I mean, it was wild. It was the craziest time ever as an entrepreneur running a company. And we bet on our team. We bet on faith. We bet on that we can get through this if we bond together. And that's what we did. And lo and behold, it inspired the rest of our organization. We had over 60 managers or directors volunteer, give up some of their pay for us to stay open and pay people to stay home that were scared. And that's what we did. And what happened during that first part of the pandemic is we went from 790 employees to now, you know, we have 1,800 employees. We opened up new markets and we doubled in size. We were on pace to do about 190, maybe 200 million in sales. We ended up with 380. And I told you, we're going to do somewhere between 750 and a billion this year. It's because you bet on your people. It's because as a leader, you can't have fear. If we would have been scared, people would have ran. Our team would have quit. They look to us, leader, to be able to make decisions with conviction and not second guessing. That's what they look for. And so you have to lead without being fearful, and you have to and show true leadership and get everyone rallied behind you. I mean, that's the best advice I can give to anybody going through a hardship or trying to be a true leader and entrepreneur. Heather, anything you want to add?
Monisha, so proud of you. And thank you so much for the shout out. I appreciate it so much. All right. So first of all, a couple of tips. Coming to rooms like this around like-minded people is critical when you want to keep yourself encouraged and motivated. For me, it's letting my kid know what I'm working on. No one will ever hold me more accountable than my son. He would never let me back down. I remind myself all the time, if success was easy, everybody would have it. And I look back at my career, Monisha, and I want you to do the same thing. You became successful when you were working in a hospital because you saw the highs and lows and you didn't give up. You kept riding that wave. You never know if you're riding an S-curve trajectory or the hockey stick trajectory. But I always challenge myself to say, am I working a field of dreams right now that could be taking off at any flipping moment? Or is this Death Valley and I'm giving up? And I really create that stark comparison in my mind. And I say, no, I didn't give up when I was a sales rep. I didn't give up when I was in corporate America. And I reached the pinnacle of success. This will be no different. And that is the same for you, Monisha. So thanks so much for being here. Reem, give it to us. What do you have to say?
Hey, my apologies, y'all. I'm on a call with a client. I'll be back in about like 2 to 3 minutes. My apologies.
No worries. Of course.
Amazing, you guys. So if you are picking value, please ping your friends in. On the bottom right-hand corner, there is a plus sign. You could tap it and then invite all your followers into this amazing conversation, because this is the first time that these amazing speakers have been together on the same stage. And that's all thanks to Reem Team and this amazing Hustler Club. Matt, welcome to the stage. It is good to see you again, my friend. How can we help you?
Good. How are we doing? Matt Rogers, New York City. Excuse any background noise. So I had an awesome question, but I'm going to turn it in a completely different direction after hearing Jason's story before. So I'm going to go a little bit different in terms of, a lot of people on here are parents and have been talking about that pretty frequently. And, you know, so a lot of people came from different backgrounds, obviously. You know, my wife and I can't hide it. We were Long Island yuppies. Our parents grew up in New York City. You know, we had a lot of benefits that people didn't have. And now with kids, you know, we go out to eat. And my daughter, who's 5 years old, is like, oh, my God, this pasta is terrible. I know I sound like a complete New Yorker here. But so, like, what do people do to keep their children grounded in, and we do charity stuff and things like that, but, you know, is there anything that people are doing with their kids to, you know, keep them grounded and appreciate that? Because, you know, we're like, oh my God, my kids are turning into us. Like, they're returning food. Like, she's 5 years old. She says, like, the pasta is no good at the restaurant. She'll only eat it at certain places. Like, I know this might be a completely irrelevant question, but I've heard literally like 10 people talk about being a parent in the past, you know, couple of days after being on this platform. So I know it's sort of a random question. I went the other way with this, but, you know, does anybody have any input on that? Over and out.
Thanks, Matt. Great question. I've got four kids and, you know, 22, 17, 13, and 10. And then I have a granddaughter and I'm only 41. So my oldest has seen the worst of my parenting and now has seen the best. And I feel like as we get older and we have more kids, we get better. But my oldest, she's a great mom and she's a great fiance to her fiance. And she's a great person, but I mean, she can't adult. I mean, I failed. I'm the first to tell you, you know, she struggles with everything. Dad, what are we going to do? Are we going to fly private? Like, it's bad. And I have lots of regrets. So I'm working harder on the next three where I make them earn things. I make them earn allowances. You know, I make them more responsible. I always do the charity things. And every Christmas, what we do is we changed it 2 years ago. Everybody gets one gift except the granddaughter and even my son, one gift. And then we go out and we do Christmas for three families. I got a friend who's a social worker. That has helped a lot. And I empower my kids to be involved in different kind of foundations and social work in the community. I mean, that's the best thing we can do. It's just, it's hard in today's world when we're successful. Our kids get spoiled by us living a life that we've always wanted. And it's hard for them to adapt and adjust. Heather, anything you want to add?
Hala's got something on this one.
Yeah, I could talk about this. So I grew up, you know, rather pretty wealthy. I mean, my dad was like a really big surgeon in New Jersey, but he grew up super poor. So he grew up in Palestine and he grew up in war and poverty. He lived in a room with six people. He didn't have running water or electricity. And he made something incredible out of nothing and literally pulled my whole entire family out of poverty. And now like my family's doing great. And it's really all because of him. And I'm super hardworking and I was never spoiled and none of my dad's kids were spoiled, even though he was really, really successful. And that's because he led by example. My dad didn't wear flashy clothes. He shopped at Sears, even though he could wear Gucci. And he spent his money like putting other kids through college, putting all my cousins through college. I remember like I would want fancy bags and he'd be like, yeah, I can get you this fancy bag or your cousin could go get her MBA. Like, what do you want? And I'd be like, oh, okay, fine. Like, you're right. Like, I don't need this bag. So it's leading by example. And it's like, to me, it sounds like you need to practice what you preach. If you don't want your kids to act like you, then don't act like that, you know, and set the example and spend your money in a way that, you know, helps other people and helps society and lead by example. And, you know, I feel like I've worked so hard and I'm so hardworking. And even though I had every reason to kind of just, you know, sit back and let everything kind of fall in my lap. But instead I took control because I had that example growing up.
Yeah, that's great. Quick New York minute follow-up. You know, maybe I'll reframe it a little bit, not necessarily them, you know, not appreciating that because we do a lot of donations with keeping them involved. So we'll go to the church during Christmas and, you know, we'll symbolically go to their bank and take out money and have them pick out a kid for, you know, pick out a gift for a kid and then explain to them how, you know, some people don't have the ability to do this and, you know, we're giving back to them. So, you know, we do things like that, but it's probably, you know, I really appreciate the input on that. And, you know, thanks so much for having me today. Appreciate it. Have a good one.
Hala, is it okay if I pipe in for 1 second if I'm not a moderator?
Go for it.
Okay. Matt, I was going to ask one thing because my life revolves around giving back. I do it purely volunteer. When you bring your children to get the present, do they actually get to meet the children they're giving it to? Or do you just buy it and tell them about it? Because a lot of children can't visualize what it's like to not have what they do. So if that last step isn't happening, that could be part of the disconnect of why they're the way they are, and also their children. So, you know, it has to be done, like Hala and Jason said, starts from home. So when you're doing the charity, it's not just writing a check or buying the toy. It's the sincerity that comes along with it. It's the smile when you're giving it to the child, talking to the child, treating them like a human being, not just giving it and going. I'm not saying you're not doing that, but I'm asking, do you actually bring the children to give the toy?
Sure. So, I mean, the program that I'm referring to is a local church literally down the block from me, where they have a program, obviously specifically for, you know, for Christmas, but it's an ongoing thing. But, you know, my kids go to Catholic school and they're ingrained with that. So the restaurant example was probably making me sound really pretentious. And, you know, again, New Yorkers, you're fucking picky on your pasta. Excuse my language. But, you know, I really appreciate all the feedback on that and with, you know, some really good specifics. But, you know, making it more personal is definitely something that I think we haven't done. And it's something that I did since they were very, very young. And always said that, you know, we have these things and everyone doesn't. So, you know, just wanted to reframe that, but that's great. Appreciate that specific. And I think that will really help me. Thanks so much.
Brilliant. I love it. Thank you, Matt, for such a great question. If you guys are picking up value, please give Jason, Hala, Heather, and Reem a follow. Tap the bell for always, because you do not want to miss these amazing rooms. We went from Hustle Heart and True Grit to Parenting 101. You never know what you're going to get at the Hustler Club. Natalie, welcome to the stage. How can we help you?
Hey, guys. Sorry if it's a little loud. I'm at the dog park right now. So if you hear some dogs barking, that's why. But thank you for having me up. I actually started my own business when I was 21. And I didn't know what I was doing at the time. And it's one of those things where you tell yourself, you know, I wish what I know now, I wish I knew then. But I'm actually in the process of, and it's just, entrepreneurship has always been in my heart and my soul. Yeah, I worked for, I've been in business for 10 years. I'm actually talking about kind of starting something on my own again. Podcasting is something that is completely new to me. I'm excited to launch my first episode after this weekend. But my question is, obviously, you know, being an entrepreneur mindset, you know, I view my podcast into growing into something more than just a podcast. Essentially, a brand would be a dream, but, you know, starting with the baby steps first. So my question is, Jason, if you could share some of your successful habits, that would be amazing. And is there anything that, I know you started your, kind of your journey at 25 years old, what would you tell your, you know, your 30-year-old self or your 25-year-old self now, what you, the success that you've grown to become, is there anything that you, two things, what are your successful habits and what would you, if there's anything that you could do differently, what would that be?
Great question, Natalie. Great question. And I think the first answer would be, some of the habits are, I mean, I set my mind straight. I try to work out every morning. It just for me time, because, you know, I take the kids to school. I go work out. I go do cryo 3 times a week. And then it just sets my mind straight to get my day started. But one of the other, you know, lessons that I've learned, and, you know, most of my, any kind of skill set, it's because I failed and then I learned, or I transitioned and learned in building a company. I didn't go to school for any of it. It's just like, you just start to learn, and you'll see the longer you're an entrepreneur, the more knowledge you're going to gain and the better you're going to be. Two lessons that I wish I knew earlier would be to not be so naive and take things personally. I've really transitioned the last few years to make it, it's all black and white for me. Either I love our employees and we're here to build a movement together, but we put KPIs in and I have an 80-20 rule. We have 25 directors. They have to fire 20% of the staff every month. And I believe in that wholeheartedly. I believe that's how you grow a company. People are like, oh, tenure, you keep people. No, if you keep everybody, you have people holding everybody down. Your top 20% of your staff does 80% of your work. Your next 60% does 20%. Your bottom 20%, when you put in key performance indicators, they don't do much at all except drag people down and they're negative. I wish I knew that earlier. I learned that about 4 or 5 years ago. But had I did that more in the alarm business in my first company, it would have been a game changer. So I wouldn't take things personally, take all the personal out of it, put everything measurable on the KPIs and have more accountability. The second thing I would have taught myself is never miss a call, never be nervous, never blow off a relationship. There have been meetings that I took that I was like, I don't even want to go to this. I guess I'm just going to be nice, that have changed my life. You can't miss those opportunities. You know, people come by, no matter what the cover of that book looks like, you don't know what's inside and what the opportunity is. I have met people in the random places that I never thought I'd have a relationship with that have either changed my life personally or in my business. And so I never run away or avoid a meeting. If it's on the books or if it's good, I make it happen no matter what. I give people their time and then they give me their time and that's it. So those would be the two tips I would give as advice.
Amazing. Thank you. And thanks for having me up here, guys.
Love it. Love it. Love it. Josh, you are up next. Thanks for hanging out on stage with us. We'd love to hear a little bit about yourself and a question if you have it.
Sure. So I am 34 years old. I am a real estate developer from New York. I've developed a little north of $300 million in the past couple of years on the East Coast, between like New York, Florida, Connecticut. I've had a chocolate factory, been involved with like different businesses, including like PPE now. But my true passion, I volunteer every day. That's me in the picture with one of my cars. I go dressed up as Batman. I go around the country, mostly East Coast at the moment, visiting sick and underprivileged children. That's my true passion, is giving back. I've visited more than 20,000 children since I've started doing this. And first of all, I'm so happy I stumbled upon this room because I've never heard of any of you before. And Jason, your story's an inspiration. Caroline, Hala, Heather, Reem team, if he's here, back on the phone. So you guys are all awesome. And that's what I love about Clubhouse. I guess my main thing is podcasts are new to me. I actually hid my identity for the last decade while doing it because I didn't want people to look at me versus the mission. I wanted it to be about what I'm trying to achieve versus who's doing it. But then I started posting stuff on my Instagram, which is linked in my bio, just so people could see that I'm not some rich kid. I'm just a normal kid with a big heart. And I want to give back and I want to inspire people to do that. So I guess my main question is that now that podcasts are becoming more popular, should I try to get featured on podcasts or start my own type of podcast? I mean, I have a much longer story. I've lost a sibling as well. I've been on that other side of this situation, and that's why I'm so adamant about giving back. And that's really my main question, is trying to get featured versus trying to do my own. Because I've remained anonymous for so long that the past year or two, I have started accepting interviews, but it's still new to me.
Hala, go ahead.
I was going to say, I could take that.
Queen, yes.
I am the podcasting princess. So happy to take your question, Josh. Yeah, I would say go for both. It sounds like you have a really interesting story. It sounds like you're very passionate about what you're doing. You have a great voice. And I would say do both, because when it comes to growing your podcast, part of that puzzle is guesting on other shows. Because when you're marketing your podcast, you want to be where the podcast listeners are. And that's because only 50% of the US has ever even listened to a podcast still. And there's 25% of the people in the US who don't even know what a podcast is. And so that means that marketing on social media is not enough. You do have to do guest interviews. You do have to do commercials on other podcasts. And so that's a piece of the puzzle when it comes to marketing your own podcast. But it seems like you have such a good story and that you're such a good-hearted, genuine person that you would probably have a lot of success with your show. And I would definitely encourage you to start a podcast.
Okay. Awesome. Yeah, I'm pretty new at all this. And I just want the world to know, like, you could spread kindness and hope without things. Like, I get DMs all the time. I don't own a Ferrari or a Lamborghini or something. And I'm like, look, my kindness started way before I was ever able to afford it. I mean, my dream was to be Bruce Wayne, not to be Batman. And then when I visited that first child and I saw the impact I had on her life, my entire life's mission changed and I didn't care about anything anymore. And I just wanted to give back. So my goal is to be able to just to help people. And that's it. So I don't want to hog the stage. I know there's Eric, Shannon, and others that are going to want to come up. But thank you guys for answering the question and for guiding people like us to spread light in this dark world, especially during the pandemic. So you guys are awesome. Thank you.
Yeah,
thank
Josh.
Thank you, Josh.
Yeah, and if you have any questions about podcasting, feel free to DM me. And I do office hours every week. I would love to help you because you have such a beautiful mission. So thank you so much for sharing the stage with us today. And I do want to invite anybody who has a question for Jason or Heather or Reem, come up on stage, raise your hand. Thank you so much, Josh. We're going to move to Eric. How can we help you?
Hey, everybody. What's up? Yeah, I don't really have a question per se. Someone invited me up. I don't remember who, but Jason, man, the story was super impressive. It just goes to show that, you know, in 2020, a lot of companies and industries were faced with the decision to either pivot or fail. And then there were other industries that didn't even have any opportunity, you know, like restaurants or salons. They just, it's very unfortunate what happened to them. But I had a similar experience in the past year, and our business was able to double, went from 25 employees to 50. But hearing your story just made me realize how much more growth is available out there and how much more opportunity. And like, I sometimes I get so caught up in the day to day that I'm not focusing on the future as much as I should be, because yeah, 50 employees is great, but what about like 100 employees, 200 employees, you know? So just setting those goals, long-term goals, 6 months, 1 year, 5 year goals, and doing everything in my power to reach them. So I appreciate you sharing that encouraging story with all of us.
Thank you, Eric. And I love goal setting. I mean, that's something I live by. I just never plan a goal more than a year. You know, that's something I've learned, that when I do, I feel defeated because it takes so long to get there. My son makes fun of me. He's 10. I work out every day, but I eat like crap, so I'm playing for a tie. So my son asks me, "Dad, you're not even getting buff or losing weight. You work out every day." I said, "Son, that's not what it's about. I'm playing for a tie so I can do that. But if I wanted to lose weight," because he's like, "Well, how fast could you lose weight?" I'm like, "Maybe a pound or two a week." It's the same thing in business. You're not going to get to 100 employees till you get to 10. You're not going to get to 10 employees till you get to 5. So I think small goals, I love that better. You know, you just mentioned it, like a weekly goal, a monthly goal, a 6 month goal, a year goal. Anything outside of that, at least for me, I'm not a big fan of. But thank you for the kind words, Eric.
Yeah, thanks for having me, Jason. Appreciate it.
Brilliant. Love it, you guys. If you are picking up value here, please give the Hustler Club a follow. Tap the greenhouse just above our heads. And while you're there, check out Ream Team, who is the founder. He's right there, center on the stage. Give Jason, Hala, Heather, Ream a follow here on Clubhouse. Check out their socials. Show them some love, because they are sharing amazing stuff on there. Shannon, welcome to the stage. Love the party hat. How can we help you?
Thank you so much for having me. Yeah, super new to Clubhouse, first time kind of speaking. But Jason, thank you so much for sharing some of your story. So I am a holistic hormone practitioner and running my own practice. And I love what you kind of said about not taking a salary for a while. And I'm kind of in the same position right now of just keeping all of my money in my business, pouring back into my business, and taking a loss right now because it's just the smartest thing for my family and I to do right now. But I kind of wanted to know, like, when did you know it was the right time to start paying yourself a salary?
Well, great question. And thank you for the kind words. So when I'm building a business, or I opened, you know, the companies, even the first business I did, I wasn't getting paid up front either. I had a little bit of savings from a sales job and decided, hey, in order to do this, I have to build both things at once so I can transition or pivot. One of the things that, you know, my rule number one is you pay your people first if you have employees. And then second is your vendors. And then third is reinvest. And if there's anything after that, then you pay yourself. But you need to take as little as possible until you've built a foundation where the company can stand on its own 2 feet and have a bad day, a bad week, a bad month. Because if you don't, and you don't reinvest it, you know what? With our company, we have 700 vehicles, all wrapped, power home, my face, all over the place, right? We did that on purpose, because rather than me make millions and millions and millions of dollars every year, we reinvested all that. And whether we did 100 million in sales or 900 million in sales, my pay is the same, because I'm reinvesting it back into the company to make sure that at the end of the day, you know, we can go public and the employees can have some. So whatever your goal is, you'll know the timing. I mean, if you can't pay your rent, then you got to pay yourself. But if you can pay your rent, but you can't go out to eat, you got to eat peanut butter and jelly and ramen noodles, well, go stock up at, you know, at Pace or at one of those outlets and buy as much ramen noodles and SpaghettiOs as you can and live off those for a while, because that's what you're going to have to do until you have that foundation and the business is fruitful enough for you to start taking some small slices.
Thank you so much for that.
Love it, love it, love it. D Nutty, I think. Sorry. Is that how you pronounce your name?
What's up, dog? What's up, everybody? Yeah, I'm a new up and coming rapper, and I'm also an influencer. So, you know, I do credit repair, and you know, that's my goal, is to bring people out the hood. You know, the people that's living in the jacks, people that's like working a 9-to-5, just taking things to the next level financially for people. That's what I'm about, and I'm about to be dropping a video soon. And right now, it's just like I'm working on like building my fan base and building my actual following, because, you know, I got like 5,000 followers with my, you know, my rap page. And then I got my credit repair influencing page. I got like about like 200 followers. So I'm just trying to scale that and figure out how I can actually, you know, get that going.
Well, I can tell you, you know, branding is the most important thing you're going to do for your business, especially if you're the face of it. And if you're trying to build a fan base, you can't be scared. You've got to go all in. I was a little douched out at first when I had to do all the commercials, or they had my face on the wraps of the car or the billboards. I was like, I don't like that. But in order for, you know, people to entrust our brand and me to be that brand and be the face of solar, I have to get used to that. So then it's marketed so much. I'll have friends and family back when this first started. Why, like, why am I seeing your crap everywhere? Your face is everywhere. It's kind of annoying. Then I know it's working. If you don't have that feedback from people, you're not doing it enough. You need to do it so much that people want to start blocking you. Therefore, you can keep getting new followers and new fans. And you got to be able to put yourself out there, right? As much as
beast.
You can.
Oh, yeah. I'm definitely a beast at it. You know, I'm not shy of nothing, you know what I'm saying? And you know, I speak a lot, you know what I'm saying, when I put out content and everything like that. But it's like, you know, I'm really trying to scale it, you know what I'm saying, to get myself really out there on the platform, to where I can actually like go viral, to where like my videos, I can get like 5,000 to 10,000 views, things of that nature.
Yeah, well then I think you're on the right path. It just takes time, you know. Unless something goes viral and it kicks so fast, it takes time. I remember the first live video I did in 2017 for Power Home, and we had 4 followers. You know, now Power Home Solar's got almost 1 million followers on all the platforms, and it's got 10,000 plus videos. You don't feed an elephant the whole meal. It's one bite at a time. So unless you hit lightning, which could happen, and I hope it does for you, and you get that instant gratification to get those followers fast, just keep grinding. You'll build it. It's one step at a time, baby. Hey, let's hear you cut a quick. No. Give us a few bars. Give us a few bars, and then if anybody else has a question for you, you want to ask them a question. But if not, give us a few bars where you jumped out.
All right, here you go, right here. You trying to bubble? Want that credit score up a couple hundred? Trying to grind? Finally sick and tired of 9-to-5 money? It's a must. Time to bustle up. Pass 100,000. Clean and cook up that credit score. And strong like whipping dope till it lock and get approved for all them loans. Got hella VAs in the Philippines working on them phones to get your ass on that paper route. Boost up that credit score. Another blessing in the flesh, feeling like Santa Claus. That's just a little bit, you know what I'm saying?
Good job. Crushed it. I think Reem had something to say.
Yeah, so I'll just tap in on this real quick. As far as your following, I'm going to be real with you. I think we all have the opportunity of a lifetime right now with this Clubhouse app. You know, it's something that we have not seen or experienced on any other social media platforms, whether it be MySpace, Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, Snapchat, doesn't matter. You get what I'm saying? You can literally connect with people all over the world. And it's not like it's Instagram where it's complete visuals and videos. It's not Twitter or Facebook where you're behind a keyboard or you're on your phone typing. You're actually connecting with people in real time with your voice. And we all have that opportunity to do that. You got to look at it like your voice is special. Your experiences are special. There's someone across the world that has gone through the same things that you maybe have gone through, and they haven't overcame it yet. They're looking for that voice that could really push them to that next level. And, you know, just looking at your bio, you're a financial strategist, real estate developer, teacher, mentor, a rap artist, and a philanthropist. Use your voice. That's the most important thing. Even with me, I got on Clubhouse October 27th, and I might have had maybe 7,000 followers on Instagram. And right now, 3.5 months later, I'm real close to about 17,000. And all of those, I would say, is from this Clubhouse app right here, just being on stage and providing value. I mean, I don't know everything. I'm not afraid to say I don't know everything. I'm still a student of the game in a lot of areas. But anytime I could jump in and provide value, that's my main goal. That's what I'm doing. And the followers will come. You really, like, you use this app, man. Utilize it to the best of your ability. Network your ass off. Get on stage. Like you said, you do credit. Start a room about credit. Giving people free game and free tips on how they could boost their credit score, you know, and the followers will come, definitely. But the main goal and the main mission for you on this Clubhouse app should be to provide as much value as possible. And trust me, the followers will come. It's something that me and the team love to say, and it's where the value is, the people will go. And that's how we're able to grow.
Crushed it.
No doubt, gang.
I love that. That was great advice. I have something to add on to what Reem said. I think he's spot on when it comes to growing your Instagram following from Clubhouse. The other thing I'll say is that I noticed that you have two pages. You've got your wrap page and you've got your credit score page, and your wrap page does much better than your credit score page. And so in today's age, it makes more sense to combine everything on one page. Like having this standalone company page, like almost never works. Nobody wants to follow a company. People want to follow a person, right? And so I would suggest that you combine your page and you start talking about credit stuff on your wrap page and just be a dynamic person. Everybody has, you know, their side hustle, their real hustle. I would say combine everything so that your followers on your regular page know that you have a business, and the same people who like your music might also want your credit services. And then you can start to, you know, put all your resources on one page. And especially if you're going to be on Clubhouse and everything like this, and you just have one Instagram page to link, I would definitely combine both your business and your personal brand and your rap brand into one page.
Sounds lit for sure. Yeah. I think I'm gonna go ahead and take care of that. Make that happen for sure.
And one more thing, bro, you use that music to speak to people. You see how you just got on here? Jason asked you to do a little something, freestyle something, and you were talking about credit the whole time, fixing your credit. Use that music page to really boost your voice and spread that message, spread that awareness about credit. You know, whether it be using credit to scale your business and grow your business or whatever the case might be, definitely use your voice. Put out more content with you rapping about fixing your credit, whether it be a 10, 15 second video you do every other day, but definitely use your voice and you know, really provide that content across social media platforms. I think that'll be something different that you're bringing to the game. How many rappers do you hear talking about credit, telling people why they should fix their credit or how they can fix their credit?
No, they just flossing in your face like, I got it. Shit, fuck everybody else. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, and it would definitely help you stand out and even maybe get sponsors and things like that, because you're combining something that typically has kind of negative messages associated with it, and you're going to do something positive with it. That could get you a lot. Like, that could help you really stand out.
Love it. So I actually know a great club that you could host a room under. And I know somebody who can help you do that. So definitely give Reem a follow and slide into his DMs. And you guys should definitely sort something out, because we are having so much fun here. Reem, thank you so much for having us. Let's finish up the stage. This is a time check. We're going to be turning hands off. Get the party going. Sarah, thanks for being here. How can we help you?
Hey, Caroline, thanks for bringing me up here. I had a question for Jason, and it's nice meeting you, Jason, and thanks for the talk. I was wondering, since you talked about investment in one of the previous answers as well, what was like one of the personal investments that you made maybe in your 20s or in your early 30s that you would recommend to others that are still working in their 20s? I also work 9 to 5, and I've been looking into investing, but not sure where to start. There are so many ways you can invest. So I just wanted to hear from you what you think.
Thank you. Great question. And congrats on starting to invest now. I think that's important. I'm always scared of the stock market. And so when I used to play in the stock market a little bit, you know, I go with the big boys. I'm scared of this Bitcoin nonsense. I can't understand it. So because I can't understand it, I hide from it. And, you know, I've got a financial guy that helps me do everything. But back when I was in my 20s and 30s, I wasn't smart enough and I didn't have the money to do any real investments. You know, I always invested in myself and opened my own business. And the first opportunity I had a chance to start playing in stocks, you know, I was buying the AT&T stocks and the Verizon Wireless stocks and just sitting on it. But the return's not enough, Sarah. I mean, when you're doing stocks and you're doing 401k, it's just not enough. You know, get into real estate, find a way to put some money together to go flip a home, get into some real estate, or, you know, get a side hustle that goes on. I'm just not a big fan of throwing some money at, you know, when it's moving 3 or 4 points a year. I don't know. I struggle with that. I don't know if anyone else on stage has a lot of experience in buying and investing in different places like that, but I always shy away from it. I love real estate. I love cannabis, you know, not personally, but to invest in, I think it's a smart move. So, you know, that those are the things I think have trigger buttons for me that I can see really growing. I can give you some inside information. Hopefully I don't get too much trouble, but Generac and Sunnova are great stocks. They're both some renewable energy. With the new administration, solar and renewable energy are blowing up. We're the fourth largest solar company in the country. We just did a deal with Sunnova. We've been doing Generac. Both of their stocks are skyrocketing. That's great stock to get into. That's my tips there.
Thank you so much for the tips. And sorry, for the real estate, is there like a specific area that you would recommend that we look at if we're looking into properties?
Well, it depends on the money you want to spend, right? So, you know, Grant Cardone gets on and says you should never own a home, you should rent, which I don't know if I agree with that 100%, but his concept is correct, that rather than you pay and own a home that you're sitting on that's just gaining appreciation, you might as well use that and go buy an asset and get rental income and write off taxes. So depending on your financial situation, I love to go into, you know, some of the first homes I've ever been into or involved in are some of the FHA loan type homes where first-time home buyers go in, you know, somewhere between $100,000 and $300,000 homes. I can go in on a brand new one and rent it out for people that can't get approved to buy it, or I can go and steal one as it's getting ready to you go into foreclosure and put some lipstick on it, clean it up a little bit, and then put it for sale and make some quick return or rent it out. So I would recommend doing that because people need places to stay. And a lot of times, especially in today's world, a lot of people's credit is getting worse. They need to, you know, they can't buy, they're going to have to rent.
Got it. Thank you so much.
Brilliant. I love it, love it, love it. Glenn, you are our final question of the night. Thank you for your patience. How can we help you?
Hi, everyone. Thank you for inviting me up here. It's really a great privilege to hear insights from you guys. My question is, by the way, I'm Glenn, and I'm from Siargao Island, Philippines, if you ever heard of that island. I am currently managing a team, and my question is, what's your take on the advice in hiring and firing? There is an advice which says, hire slow, fire fast. I'm ranking websites in Google, and I have a team under me, and I wanted to know what's your take on that. Because some of the people under me are, because I'm more of a mentor rather than a leader of the group, because I'm the one also like helping these people gain full employment. And I just want to know what your take on that really, because I'm not really I'm still new at it. So I hope to hear your advice in that aspect. Thank you, guys.
Thank you, Glenn. That's a subject I love, because I've learned with so much failure of holding on to people too long. I have hired thousands and I have fired even more, right? Tens of thousands, it feels like. And I will tell you, I've never regretted firing anybody. Not one time in my life have I ever gone, shit, I wish I wouldn't have fired that person. But do you know how many times I go, damn it, I should have fired them earlier. So yes, that concept is real. Fire fast, hire slow, and put KPIs, put key performance indicators in place to create accountability and challenge yourself to have a churn number. I'm an 80-20 guy. You know, I'm a big believer. If your ass is running and you're a gazelle, you better be in that top 80% or you're getting eaten. Your ass is leaving. There's no reason for the rest of the company to suffer. I look at it that way. The whole company suffers if some schmuck isn't doing his job, giving me 70%. I ask our employees all the time, is it fair for Power Home to give you 100% of your paycheck, but for you to give 80% effort? No. Well, then don't get pissed if you're in that 20%, we let you go. Because usually 9 times out of 10, those in that bottom 20% that we replace, it's because of effort, it's because of attitude, it's because of personality. It's not a training issue. You can train people to do great things. It's all in their head and it's what they want. And that's why we replace 20% every month. And we continue to grow because, you know, if we wanted to be the post office or UPS or Microsoft and flatline and, hey, we've had these employees for 28 years. Great. That's fine. But go Google all these billion-dollar companies that are worth $1 billion. Every employee that was there to the first 1 million, up to 100 million, up to 1 billion is less than 1%. less than 1%. You people have shelf lives, unfortunately. Either they're ride or die with you, or they have a shelf life. And the sooner that, you know, people that are running companies or managing teams understand that it's not personal, it's business. And that's why you put those KPIs in place. You've got to move fast, and you've got to understand that most people have a shelf life. And I'm a big believer. I'd rather fire you than you quit, because I think of spoiled milk. If I get rid of the milk the day before it spoils, it didn't get anything smelly. But if I let it spoil, it's going to ruin everything around it. And now I've got a nasty refrigerator to deal with, right? It's the same thing in business. If I've got somebody that's sitting there being negative and they can't get their shit together and they're complaining and I didn't fire them and they quit, they get to go tell the world their story of how they quit and how they did this and you should quit. And people believe that nonsense. So we fire them. We get the story. I get upset when we have a manager quit. I like look at the director like, dude, well, how did you miss that? So that's how I roll. That's what I believe. I think that's, we got to get a little tougher to build our companies. And, you know, the hand-me-outs, the, you know, the free rides, that shit doesn't work in our business because I'm protecting 1,800 employees. I think of every decision I make is for all 1,800 of them, not to baby one or two people. So fire fast, hire slow.
Glenn, I hope that we answered your question. That was awesome advice from Jason, don't you think? Did we help you?
Yeah, yes. That's awesome. That's awesome. Thank you so much, Jason.
Awesome. So we have a guest who showed up here, John Assaraf. He's somebody who has been on my podcast. He's a brain expert, a mindset expert. So before we close, we should definitely chop it up with John. How are you, John? Thanks for joining us.
Hey there. I got your little ping that you're on here and I was just listening to Jason. Sounds brilliant. I'm doing great. Enjoying a beautiful afternoon in San Diego. How's everybody doing?
We're doing great. Do you want to tell everybody a bit about yourself?
No, just kidding. Listen, I'm an entrepreneur. I'm a neuroscience researcher. And specifically what I love to do is understand why we do the things we do, but more importantly, why don't we do the things we know we should do and want to do? And so I'm fascinated with the human brain. And fortunately, in the last, you know, 7 to 10 years, what we've learned about the human brain has made most of what we've learned since we've done real science obsolete. And so I'm fascinated with beliefs and limiting beliefs and the fears that hold us back and the self-image issues that hold us back and, you know, habit patterns in the brain and how to deactivate ones that are disempowering and how to quickly create empowering ones and reinforce them. And so I write about it. I've got several New York Times bestselling books. And some of you know I've been in a bunch of movies like The Secret and Quest for Success with Richard Branson and Dalai Lama. And I love to learn, grow, share. And that includes all of my failures as well as my successes so I can make people's lives a little bit easier and help them achieve success faster.
That's awesome. And, you know, we had a question, one of the first questions of the room. It was somebody who was asking, how do you stay motivated in the downturns? Like as an entrepreneur, there's so many ups and downs. And she was asking, like, what is everybody's secret sauce in terms of staying motivated in those down periods? John, from like a science perspective with all your expertise, what would you say in terms of advice for that?
Sure. So it's a great question. And there's a lot of research that's been going on around extrinsic motivation, which is things that motivate you outside of yourself. Like, what will people say about me? You know, what award will I win? What notoriety will I achieve? And that's extrinsic motivation. But the motivation that actually lasts is what's called intrinsic motivation. And intrinsic motivation is really the stuff within you that is purpose-driven, social or morally, something that you want to do to advance mankind, help animals, help the planet, anything that we can do that gives us greater purpose and meaning. And when we dissect the word motivation, what it really means is, what is my motive for action? And so when I work with any of my clients, whether they're athletes or CEOs or entrepreneurs, it doesn't matter. I always ask them, like, why do you want to achieve that? And they'll tell me, because, you know, I want to have a great lifestyle. And I say, well, why is that important to you? Well, because I want to fulfill my potential. I go, well, why is that important to you? I try to get to the deepest level of their why. And the reason for that is there's a part of our brain called the left prefrontal cortex that can choose what we want. It's our imagination and deductive reasoning part of our brain. This or that, here's why. But when we get into the limbic system, the emotional center of our brain, the part of our brain that has to light up to connect to our behavioral part of our brain, the motor cortex, if we don't have a big reason why we're doing this, then our stories, reasons, excuses, and outside circumstances control us. And especially, as everybody knows, in the last 12, 14 months, it's been an interesting time out there. And industries like Jason's, for example, have been exploding, while other industries have been imploding. And so if you don't have the deep reasons why you must overcome the challenges, why you must be adaptable, why you must, you know, focus on how you will versus the stories, the reasons, the excuses, the circumstances, you have to be bigger than any story, reason, excuse, or circumstance. And a lot of times, if we don't have a reason why I must do this, then we succumb to the fear, we succumb to the disempowering self-talk, we succumb to the emotions that want to keep us stuck and being in a victim mentality. And so when we enter, the domain of the brain and we say, okay, how can I set my life up? How can I set up my vision and my goals and my why and make the reasons so big that nothing will get in my way? That's how we do it.
John, dude, that's amazing. Thank you for coming on here and sharing that wisdom. And I'm sure the weather there in San Diego is a lot better than where I'm at in Michigan. But, I'm coming to Cali soon. I'll be in Orange County, but thank you so much. I got to try to get you on my podcast. I know I would love to have you on there and talk entrepreneurship and talk about, the behavioral neuroscience and stuff like that to really take it to the next level. So hopefully I can hit you up and get you on the show.
That'll be great. It'll be a joy, Jason. And I've been on Hala's once or twice, and she's a rock star, as everybody here knows.
Thank you. And John, I'm actually doing Yap Live events, so I'd love to have you. I'm doing a room on mindset, and I think you'll be a great fit. So let me know the best way to reach out to you.
You got it. Actually, my EA and I are looking at each other right now. We've talked about you just 5 minutes before I got on when I saw your ping. So you're on the docket to get back to.
Perfect.
Thank you, John, for the wisdom. Really appreciate that.
My joy.
All right. Well, I think that we're wrapped up for the day, right, Jason? We're going to have a time check. So thank you guys so much for joining this room. We're going to be here each and every Thursday at 5:30 p.m. Make sure you get here early so that you can raise your hand and get your question answered. Jason, Heather, John, Reem, any last words?
I would say just stay positive. Continue, I got a thing in the book. One of the titles is called, Buffaloes Run Through the Storms and Cows Run the Other Way. We've all been through this ice storm. We've got this pandemic. We got all this negativity. Everybody down here, be a buffalo. Run through it. Get through it. Stay positive and look to the future. Look to tomorrow to be better. Look at next week to be better. Look at next month to be better. And thank you for joining us on this. And thank you for everyone up here on stage to helping us out. Appreciate that.
Of course. Heather, you want to say anything?
Jason, thanks for having us. And thank you, everybody, for being here tomorrow night, 5 p.m., Confidence and Cocktails. I'll see you there.
Brilliant. Love it. And Reem, thank you again so much for having us. And it's been amazing. And we are excited to continue this collaboration.
Definitely. Definitely. Let's make it happen. Before we get out of here, Jason, I had two questions that I want to shoot at you real quick. One of them, what's one thing you know now that you wish you knew in the beginning of your journey?
Patience, because too many times I almost quit or thought about quitting or was slow. I feel like I'm glad that I never quit, but as an older person with a lot more wisdom, I feel that if I had that education to know that everything would still be okay, and to know that even if I gave it my all and didn't quit and I didn't get the results I wanted, I would have no regret because I gave 100%. There were too many times I wasted days, weeks, months going back and forth without making that decision, and I don't like that. And then I think the second thing would be to not control everything. I used to be a control freak and built everything from the ground up where I had my hands in everything. Now, the last few years I've learned to empower other people and let the sun shine on them and let them grow and entrust them more in the business so then they can develop new leaders. And that's more exciting. You know, the smarter people I hire around me that are smarter than me, the better the company will be. And you got to be able to be humble and do that.
Wow. So I definitely needed to hear that second part right there, man. Thank you so much. My second question, can you drop maybe two or three books that you've read that might have changed your life and shifted your mindset?
I'm not blowing smoke. I've never read a book in my life. I will tell you this, though. Here's what I'm going to tell you. So I just wrote one because Heather, who's a dear friend and a mentor of mine, you know, on writing a book, and you know, we've got this nice little energy circle, you know, between Hala and Heather and myself, where we're kind of all mentoring each other in different aspects. She challenged me to write a book. And I was like, I've never read a book. And so I said, all right, screw it. So I hired a company to do it. And I spent 25 hours talking to an author, giving my story, giving tips. And it's not a biography. It's called Own Your Power. And it says, no BS, no more excuses. The time is now. It comes out in the second quarter this year. But it is telling real stories and things that I've overcome and learned from experience and tips. And like just that Buffalo comment I made, little things that you got to put in your mind. The books that I want to read, or I'll do audiobooks on eventually, is Pivot and Go from David Nurse, Confidence Creator from Heather Monahan, and Undaunted from Kara Golden. Hope that helps.
Definitely. Thank you.
Brilliant. I love it. It's always Clubhouse magic here in the Hustler Club. So Reem, thank you again for having us. Jason, Hala, amazing as always. And thank you, everybody. Have a great night. We'll see you next Thursday.
Thank you. Great job. Bye.
And that concludes another episode here on True Underdog. If you're interested in hearing more, make sure you subscribe at iHeartRadio, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or the YouTube channel. You can always visit trueunderdog.com, subscribe to all of them. Make sure you check out our newest episodes coming out on Mondays and Thursdays. True Underdog, baby.
Damn. True Underdog. Damn.